Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
So if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. When you're there, say amen. Tonight I'm going to be reading out of the contemporary English version. But that's just me. If you guys just follow me in whatever version you guys want to follow me in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you are not going to turn there, go ahead and just give me a good old amen. Presbyterian head nod. Amen. All right. So the scripture reads as follows. We're going to start with verse 1. Now, if you will bear with me, I'm going to read fast, all right? But I'm going to go ahead and read most of the chapter because it's got some stuff I want to talk about, all right? Chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And Ahab told his wife Jezebel what Elijah had done and that he had killed the prophets. She sent a message to Elijah, 'You killed my prophets, now I'm going to kill you. I pray that the gods will punish me even more severely if I don't do it by this time tomorrow.'" If you ask me, I think she's serious. "So Elijah was afraid when he got her message, and he ran to the town of Beersheba in Judah, and he left his servant there, then walked another whole day into the desert. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in the shade. He begged the Lord, 'I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors.' Then he lay down in the shade and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel awoke him and said, 'Get up and eat.' Elijah looked around, and by his head was a jar of water and some baked bread. He sat up, ate and drank, then he lay down and went back to sleep. Soon the Lord's angel woke him again and said, 'Get up and eat, or else you'll be too tired to travel.' So Elijah sat up and ate and drank. The food and water made him strong enough to walk for 40 more days. At last, he reached the mountain Sinai, the mountain of God, and he spent the night there in a cave. While Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked him, 'Elijah, why are you here?' And he answered, 'Lord God all-powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They're torn down your altars, and they have killed all your prophets, except me.'" How many of y'all ever feel like you're alone? Or you're the only one? "Except for me. And now they're even trying to kill me. So go out and stand on the mountain,' the Lord replied. 'I want you to see me when I pass by.' All at once, a strong wind shook the mountain and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze. And when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat. And he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And the Lord asked, 'Elijah, why are you here?' And Elijah answered, 'Lord God, all-powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed you and killed all of your prophets except for me. And now they are even trying to kill me.' The Lord said, 'Elijah, you can go back to the desert near Damascus. And when you get there, appoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and appoint Jehushan of Nimshi to be the king of Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, to take your place as my prophet. Hazael will start killing the people who worship Baal. Jehu will kill those who escape from Hazael, and Elisha will kill those who escape from Jehu. But 7,000 Israelites have refused to worship Baal and will live. Lord, bless the reading of your word tonight, God. As we dig in, God, Lord, I pray that your spirit would manifest in this place, God. Lord, as we seek your face and we seek your presence, God, to hear your voice tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you would just dwell amongst us tonight. Lord, as we seek you, Lord, let us find you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray right now that there would be deliverance in this atmosphere tonight. God, I pray that there would be healing in this atmosphere tonight, God. Lord, as we sit here together, God, Lord, let this nourish our spirits, God, and let the fellowship nourish our bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to talk about hearing God when everything else is so loud. How many of y'all know it's very hard to concentrate when everything is loud? The kids won't be quiet. Your significant other won't leave you alone, and you're just trying to concentrate. You know, so... So it's hard to concentrate. How many of y'all know that when you're trying to find directions, you got to be like, turn the radio down, I can't see. Right? So I want to talk about hearing God when everything is so loud. And I just want to tell you guys tonight that hell is trembling right now. When the saints gather together, demons start sweating. Amen. Something's going to happen tonight. I feel it in my spirit. Amen. So 1 Kings 19, we find Elijah. Elijah had killed the prophets from Ahab and Jezebel, and now he's facing retaliation from the queen trying to kill him. She's mad. How many of y'all know that a mad queen is the last person you want hunting you down? She will find you. She doesn't know who you are or where you'll be, but she will find you, and she will get you. But tonight I want to talk about two major groups of believers. And there are those believers that come into the house of God, and we come in for our own personal benefit to talk to God, not necessarily believing that God will intervene or step into our situation, but we come to the house of God because there's a peace in the house of God. And we know that we should be here, but we come almost positioning ourselves as if we were going to a therapist, and we're laying down on the couch, and we just want to go ahead and tell him about what's going on in our lives and what we've been through and what's going on and what's troubling us. And then we want to go ahead and say, oh, I was glad to get that off my chest, and walk right out the doors and not hear a word that God's saying to us. Come on. Amen. And then there are some of us, nobody in this house, but there are some of us that God just talks to you all the time. I mean, I'll run into a couple of them in the marketplace or the mall, and you know, God told them where to park. God told them to get some popcorn before they went into the movie. God told them that they were going to run into me, and they had a word for me. He told them that they were going to run into you, and they got a word for everybody. And God talks to them about everything under the sun. But we don't know anybody like that, right? But in between those two extremes, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance of having time to talk with the Lord and not ignoring him. But then there has to come a time where we listen. All right. Elijah finds himself afraid of this mean old woman that's trying to kill him. All right. He goes and he finds himself under a shade tree, and he just says, God, I just want to die. I love you. You love me. Take me home. I'm tired of running. I don't want to run first. You're going to kill me. And I'd rather you just take me than her to kill me. And so the angel of the Lord comes and says, hey, listen, you need strength. You need to go. Here's some food. Here's some water. You need to go. You need to make this journey. You need to get to the place where God has a direct assignment for you to position yourself. But he finds himself running away from Jezebel. But in between those two extremes of people that we got to find that balance. It's not important so much as to what we say to God. It's more important what he's saying to us. And through the culmination of mankind, we find that God has kept an open communication with his people. And God has always desired to talk with us. There's always been that want and that longing to dwell among his people and to tell us how much we're worth to him when we don't feel worthy at all. When we feel like we are just, you know, wet dog food. Sometimes I wake up in the mornings and I just feel like some old wet dog food. I know ain't none of y'all ever wake up feeling like that, but I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes it's just, you know, but that's just my personal. And so when I get into his word and I get into his spirit and I hear what he says about me, it elevates me into knowing who the man I'm supposed to be, the man that I'm walking in, the steps, my steps that are ordered by him. Amen. So we find in verse 10 where Elijah is talking about everybody else is dead except for me. And I know that I've myself personally found myself feeling like I was the only one. But I just want to bind the lie of the enemy right now that if you feel tonight like you're the only one and you're the only one that's going through what you're going through, there are men and women in the kingdom of God that are going through exactly what you've went through, what you're going through, and what you're going to go through. All right? So don't ever feel alienated or isolated, because the enemy, what the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to isolate you to the fact where you don't feel like you can talk to anybody about what you're going through. And by doing that, you can't be delivered from what the enemy is holding you captive of. When Jesus has already promised us the victory. Amen? You may be doing everything right. Elijah was doing everything right by the book. Elijah said, God, I have done my best to obey you. When everybody else wouldn't, when everybody else wanted to go and blend in and worship Baal, worship the idols, I didn't, God. I didn't. So where's my protection? And you might be feeling like you're the only one. You might be minding your own business. You might be just, and you know, you might honestly be. But your family will still hurt you. Your friends will still leave you. God will not leave you nor hurt you. Sister Susie might still look at you cross-eyed. Okay? Honey, she is cross-eyed. Let's just get over it. You know what I'm saying? She can't help it. All right? But Sister Susie's going to look at you cross-eyed whether you're doing the right thing or not. So we got to make sure that we don't take everything so personal. But at the same time, you might be doing everything right, but your cars might be not so well. You might just have to turn them in and ask for another hand. You know what I'm saying? You might just have to go ahead and play the cards that you're dealt. Go ahead and just stand up and be persistent and go forward in your race. God, on multiple occasions, we find him speaking through whirlwinds and earthquakes and fire. We find Moses in the desert, and he finds himself a burning bush, and all of a sudden this fire starts talking. I'm going to tell you right now, if some fire started talking to me, I've done some crazy things in my life, and I just have to try to wake up. I'm just saying, because it's not too far-fetched. But I'm telling you right now, if some fire started talking to me, I'd have to make sure that I was awake or that I was in my right mind. Because, anyway, so God, we find God talking through loud, demonstrative natural causes such as tornadoes and earthquakes. Revelation 4 and 5, it says that lightning and thunder proceed from the very throne of God. Lightning and thunder proceed from his throne room. How many of y'all been like right next to some lightning that went crack and just scared you? That's some big lightning coming from the throne room of God. I'm gonna tell you right now, those lightning bolts ain't like you see on National Geographic, little spider webbed. lightning. No, those are some like huge lightning bolts. All right? I want to tell you guys a story. Back when I was 18, 19, I was working with a man that was laying tile, and he was teaching me how to lay tile. And it was raining one day, and I was sitting out in the garage just trying to take a break and eat lunch, and it was raining, and I'm telling you right now, some lightning struck and hit. All right, so the garage is right here, and there was a palm tree right next to it, probably 5 feet away. Lightning hit that palm tree. I jumped, fell down, rolled onto my belly, got back up, fell back. I'm telling you right now, I got scared. Okay? But lightning and thunder from the throne room of God, that doesn't even compare to what that scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. Lord, we love you. All right, so let's talk about the difference between God and his loud, demonstrative whirlwind of a voice and his still, small voice. The loud, demonstrative voice of God and the calm voice of God can be considered as showing the difference between the dispensation of law and grace. Law and grace are two vital keys that I want us to look at tonight. Law is a strong voice of instruction given in the middle of wind, lightning, earthquakes. How many of y'all know that soft, quiet, peaceful correction and instruction is useless? Might as well throw it out the window. And I can tell you guys this because as a kid, I was beat a lot. So I know that correction, listen, if I got off with a little, hey, but I'm going to tell you right now, that rarely ever happened because my dad was a sheriff's deputy and he had that thick old long sheriff's belt and that whistle through the air. Well, I'm telling you right now, that was no joke. And then I'd have to pick my own switch sometimes. How many of y'all ever had to pick your own switch? I'm going to tell you right now. And if you didn't pick the right switch, it's a technique, I'm telling you. You got to get the one that's not too long, but that's not small enough. You bring back that little one that you know, okay, they're going to try. But, you know, I learned the easy way because my brothers and sisters had to pick their own switches also. So they taught me how to pick my own switch. Now, if you didn't pick the right size switch, They'd go like 45 feet into the brush and get this long old Indiana Jones looking wrap around you three times switch. It wasn't even a switch. That was a vine, I'm going to tell you right now. But, all right, correction and instruction is useless if it's just a peaceful, small, hey, don't do that. Hey, stop, don't do that. Which I'm not used to that. I never got the luxury of that. But, anyways, law is a strong voice of instruction, and sometimes we need instruction, such as myself. Coming to Crystal River, I was a grown man, but I wasn't mature. And Pastor Ronnie has made sure that I learned how to be mature, and for that, I am grateful. You know, it's funny to laugh at and joke at, but looking back to how I used to be, yeah, I realize it, and I see it. In hindsight is always 20/20, but I needed instruction, and sometimes as the children of God, we need instruction. Amen. Amen. So God used his prophets to speak instruction to us, and he still uses his prophets to speak to us. God uses pastor to speak to us. See, you guys have been waiting on an earthquake, some whirlwind, or some fire to tell you what is the right thing to do. Like, God, if it's your will, let that tree just fall over right now. No, in good and well, that tree ain't going to fall over. You know, when Pastor Ronnie's been telling you for the past three Sundays, and we ain't been listening, Yes, he is. But he's been telling us what to do, how to live, how to abide by the word of God, and we need to listen to that. God doesn't always have to talk to us through some loud whirlwind or tornado or earthquake. I want to talk about grace. Grace is a peaceful voice of reconciliation that's given in the middle of pain, loneliness, confusion, brokenness, addiction, unforgiveness. We find that the still small voice of grace is similar to the gospel. The gospel is a message of hope and peace and love and forgiveness. Come, drink from the water, from the living water, and you'll never thirst again. Non-judgmental. Come as you are. In your pain, in your loneliness, in your confusion, grace abounds. God spoke through his son Jesus. In Hebrews 1, it says, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he has created the world. I'm reminded of Jesus when he stepped out on the boat with his disciples and the storm was raging and the rain was pouring and they were afraid for their lives. They thought that the ship was going to sink. They didn't know if they were going to make it. And they said, Jesus, don't you even care? My man, what's going on? Why? Like, you're sleeping and we're about to die. And Jesus said, peace. He didn't get out there and fight it back with thunder or fight it back with lightning and rain. But he came in to the situation and he said, peace. Peace be still. And I don't know what you're going through tonight, but in whatever you're going through, Jesus is knocking at the door, wanting to come in. And not spray bleach on everything and try to clean you up. He just wants to say peace. The addiction that keeps you up at night, the hurt that keeps you up at night, the disconnect that keeps you up at night. He just wants to say, peace, be still. You're worth it. I love you. Amen. Grace is equivalent to reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that Christ has reconciled for us with the Father. So tonight I just want to go ahead and give you 3 points on how to hear God's voice. I'm going to read John chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. You don't have to turn there because I'll be gone by the time you get there. But it says, but the gatekeeper opens the door for the shepherd and he goes in through it. The sheep know their shepherd's voice and he calls each of them by name and leads them out. When he has led out all of the sheep, he walks in front of them and follows because they know him, and they follow because they know him. The sheep will not follow a stranger. They don't recognize a stranger's voice, and they run away. I like what Jesus said right there. Jesus said, listen, guys. The sheep listen to the shepherd. Some random guy comes in and tries to tell you what to do, they ain't going to listen to him because they haven't been trained to the voice of the stranger. And so the people that were listening to God, or to Jesus, rather, sorry, Jesus, they said, what are you even talking about? Because Jesus was speaking in a heavenly language. Not heavenly language, but Jesus was heavenly minded. So he was talking about sheep and shepherds, and they were like, what does that have to do with what we were just talking about? And so we find Jesus trying to tell them that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus does not say the sheep can hear it. They don't say they have the ability to hear it or they listen or they don't listen. It says that they do hear it. And if we find ourselves worried too much about what Brother Flip-Flop and Sister Yeah-Yeah are talking about, telling us how to fix our own problems, we find ourselves distracted from what God is saying. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Because they listen and they know that that's my master. That's where I'm going. The closer that, the more consecrated you get and you put yourself in the Word of God and you seek Him and seek His voice and you follow Him, the easier it will be to distinguish a stranger from the voice of God. Because Sister Yeah-Yeah, she done got mad because Brother Charlie done sat in her seat. So she looked at him and gave him a mean old look. And so he never sat in her seat again. So she knows that if she gives people bad looks, that everything's going to be okay. Ain't nobody going to mess with her. And if you listen to Sister Yeah-Yeah, because she already knows that if you just, she said, all you got to do is just give him a mean look. Did he sit in your seat? You just need to give him a mean look, and he won't ever do it again. When the voice of God is calling out to you saying, hey, listen, it doesn't matter where you sit, as long as you're in the house, as long as you're binding together. So most Christians would question the accuracy All right. Tonight you might be here and you might be wondering, what are you even talking about? I've never heard God speak to me in any way, shape, or form. And I've been following, you might have never accepted Christ as your Savior. Or you might have been following, you might have a relationship with Christ. But let me just say this. Divine silence does not mean divine inactivity. If you're not hearing the voice of God, but you're seeking Him, don't stop. Don't stop. Because the enemy will put little whispers in your ear saying, hey, listen, he's not talking to you, but I will. You know what I'm saying? Hey, when you was at the bar, you had a grand old time. You never got into a fight, and you went to church one Sunday, and somebody looked at you sideways, and you're ready to knock their grill out. You know what I'm saying? So, why would you even go back? Just go back to the bar. You got friends. You know what I'm saying? Go back to the trap house. They got it. They got it there. Hey, everybody loved you. You know what I'm saying? So if you're in a season where you feel like you can't hear the voice of God, divine silence is not divine inactivity. Okay. Point number one is this, if you guys are taking notes. How to hear God. We have to receive what God is saying to us. He's not going to waste His time and speak to us if we're not going to receive what He's talking about or what He's saying. Some of our receivers might be broken. All right? Sometimes some of us have personal issues where our receiver might be a little broken. We might not be understanding and receiving what God's doing, or what God's saying to us. Elijah positioned himself in the mountain to do what God told him to do, to see the Lord as he went by. How many of y'all ever had bunny ears on your television? Growing up, rabbit ears, right. All right, how many of y'all ever had to go up and hold the antenna so mom and dad could get the picture? You didn't get the luxury of watching. You had to go, nope, look to the right. So now you over here laid all over the television. All right, right there. Don't move. Ah, go back, go back. Right? And sometimes we find ourselves with our receivers all jacked up. Television and radio stations, they transmit signal and broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But just because your television is off does not mean that the television station has stopped broadcasting. Amen? God is transmitting His word and His will and His desire for us 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And just because your receiver might be off or broken or tuned into the wrong station doesn't mean that He's not calling out for you. God is continually transmitting His living word to us. But sometimes we find ourselves busy. The average Christian lifestyle is so busy that it isn't conducive to hearing God's voice. How often are we guilty of saying, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, I'm just so busy." Essentially saying, "I don't have time for you. I don't have time for them. I don't have time for anything. I'm busy. I'm busier than a cross-eyed air traffic controller." You know, Psalms 46 tells us to be still and know that I am God. Point number two is this. We have to discern the true voice of God. Most often, this is good if you're taking notes, most often we mistake the voice of the Lord for our own thoughts. Amen. Because God does not speak to us, "Joshua, that was a wrong decision you made for that." Let me stop. But He does not. Okay? And so we learned recently that when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right? Because God is a spirit. All right? So we have to want to, but we have to physically do it at the same time. But since God is a spirit and our spirit, He doesn't speak to us in a physical tornado or hurricane, but yet He downloads things into our spirit. Amen. When we think, you know, "Hey, listen, I should probably help my brother out." Or, "Hey, I should probably go help my sister out." Or, "Hey, I need to volunteer at you know, so-and-so's place or do this or do that." You know, it might be a good idea, but don't take credit for something that God's putting into your spirit. And sometimes we think, "Oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that." But those crazy things that you've been doing or that you've been thinking about doing, that ain't God, honey. I'll tell you right now, that's just too much coffee or too much Coca-Cola. All right? So so most often we mistake the voice of the Lord for our own thoughts. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Communication with God is spirit to spirit, not brain to brain or mouth to ear. It's easy to get confused, and that's why we say, "I feel like the Lord is telling me to do this," or "I feel like the Lord is telling me to say this," or "I feel like the Lord is leading me in this direction or in that direction," because He downloads it into our spirit. The more you read His word, and the more confident you will be in knowing His voice. Point number three is this: we have to respond in obedience. We find Elijah responding, going out, standing in the middle of the mountain, and we see a tornado come up and start breaking the rocks around him. We see this earthquake shaking the entire mountain. And then fire, a huge fire. You're going to tell me that you're just going to stand there in the middle of all of it. You would catch me running down that mountain. I'll tell you right now. But Elijah obeyed. He stood out there and he waited. Too many of us sometimes are worried about the next big thing that's happening. Oh, that was huge. That had to have been God. Honey, that wasn't God. You know what I'm saying? So Elijah could have said, oh my gosh, that was a huge tornado. God, I seen you. All right, I'm out. And he would have missed his assignment. The earthquake. You're going to tell me that's not God? That's got to be God. But he knew it wasn't because it wasn't God. God was not in the earthquake. And then a huge fire. And God wasn't in the fire. I want to relate on a spiritual level. The tornado to salvation. Coming in crazy, wrapping around, breaking everything that's trying to hold you back or to come against you, and just wrapping you in love and mercy and forgiveness. I want to relate the earthquake and the correction and into discipline and the law and sanctification and building our spirit and obeying what God is telling us to do and the fire of the Holy Spirit. So once Elijah went through salvation, sanctification, and the Holy Spirit, God came in a still small voice. If you tonight get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not have a doubt in your mind the voice of God. Amen. Amen. So, responding in obedience to what God is telling us to do. God said, all right, you can go back to the desert near Damascus. When he left, all of a sudden the queen wasn't just, nah, I don't want to kill Elijah anymore. His problems were still there. But God had a setup for him. So when Elijah left, he said, I've already provided people for you to get in contact with. I'll provide substance for you, and I will take care of you. And Elijah did that, what the Lord said. So it don't matter what you're going through tonight. Come hell or high water, come what may. I don't know what your personal life entails, but I just want to tell you this, that God is calling out to us in a still small voice, saying peace, saying love, saying acceptance, saying deliverance, saying healing. If you would, stand all over this house tonight. You know, sometimes in life, we feel like we are the only ones. And we feel like everything around us just can't be right. And because we haven't heard the voice of God in a while, that we've done something wrong, or that, you know, he's mad at us. But I just want to encourage you guys tonight that if we consecrate ourselves, if we get into the Word, if we listen to what pastor's telling us, if we listen to what our elders are telling us, if we listen to what God is telling us, we'll find ourselves set up for success, making wise decisions. Everything that happens in a dynamic setting, you know, we look at this tornado, and we look at this earthquake, and we look at the fire, and yeah, we mentally see that. But at looking at our own lives, if God has given you a promise, but yet things are just shaking all over the place, you know what I'm saying? Those are just metaphors. Life is hard. Things that we go through that nobody else knows about, it's hard. And it's hard to hear God's voice when everything is just so loud. And if you don't take anything from this tonight but this, in the midst of everything that is just trying to drown out God, His voice is there. It's never left. And it's been saying the same thing since the beginning of time. Amen. Bow your heads tonight, and we'll pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have never left us. Lord, we thank you that you have never forsaken us. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, Lord, that as we go home and we go to our lives, and we go to our individual, you know, personal lives, God, Lord, I just pray that you would move on our behalf, God.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.